Association.
American Family News, I'm Rusty Pugh. Five shipments of American-made weapons have arrived in Israel, with more on the way. The U.S. is giving Israel free rein on how to deploy these weapons. Rich Edson has more.
The Pentagon says American weapons are arriving in Israel on a near-daily basis now, and that Pentagon is working as quickly as it can to fulfill Israeli requests. The Defense Department is defending these military aid packages and giving Israel the ability to use American weapons with a wide latitude. The Defense Department says the 26th Marine Expeditionary Unit and its 2,000 Marines and sailors is moving closer to Israel through the Red Sea. The Pentagon says the unit is equipped to execute amphibious missions, respond to crises, engage in limited contingency operations, though officials say this unit does not yet have orders. The president or defense secretary can change that.
The head of a Messianic Jewish ministry says several of its Israel-based employees are IDF reservists who have been called up to take part in the war against Hamas. Chad Groening has more.
In a recent address to the Knesset, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu warned both Iran and Hezbollah, quote, "Don't test us in the north. Don't make the mistake of the past. Today, the price you will pay will be far heavier." Netanyahu's comments came after Iran Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei warned that Israel's continuing offensive in Gaza could cause a violent reaction across the region. David Brickner is Executive Director of Jews for Jesus, which is doing extensive work in the Holy Land.
That Saturday morning was just a game changer in every way. And now Israel is at war with Hamas, and the whole country is still in shock from the brutality of the terrorist attack. Jews for Jesus has its largest work in the world in Israel, with over 50 full-time staff.
And Brickner says some of those staff members serve with the Israeli Defense Forces
and are engaged in the conflict. So these are people who are leaving behind wives and children and are fighting to defend Israel, both at the north, where Hezbollah sent 9 rockets into Israel. And so that's brewing, but mostly on the southern border of Gaza, where all the mayhem occurred. And so we're doing everything that we can.
I'm Chad Groening.
Another librarian is looking for a job because of filth in the children's section. Charlie Butch reports.
The Saline County, Arkansas Quorum Court passed a resolution calling on the local library to move the trash from the children's section. Jerry Cox of the Family Council of Arkansas tells AFN, librarian Patty Hector stated there was no pornographic material in the library.
Big disagreement that erupted. A lot of community members got involved. They put up billboards on the highway criticizing the library. And at the end of the process, the quorum court ended up firing the librarian there for not moving the material.
Some were saying the librarian was more concerned about keeping the books in the children's section than the safety of the children. Of course, the librarian claimed censorship, but Cox says that's just not true.
They weren't telling the library they had to get rid of the books. They just said move the books over here into another place where kids can't get to them. And the librarians would not even do that.
Cox suggests it behooves people throughout the country to check libraries on what they are using tax dollars for to purchase material to put on the shelves. And if it's porn or LGBT materials available to children, to start a ruckus and get something done. I'm Charlie Butts.
A Florida police officer is under arrest for alleged sexual battery of a tourist.
A Clearwater, Florida police officer stopped a woman on vacation at the beach threatening to arrest her for jaywalking, but then Chief Eric Gandy says his officer did something else.
He told her he would take her to her hotel and she could take care of the charges by doing things for him.
Now 29-year-old Officer Nicholas Paloma is accused of driving the woman around, making her perform sex acts. The chief says Paloma even tried to hide his police car location from the department. Eben Brown, Fox News.
For American Family News, I'm Rusty Pugh.
The FACE Act, Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act, was signed into law by President Bill Clinton. Since Roe v. Wade was overturned last year, the DOJ has used it as a tool to terrorize pro-life advocates who wish to peacefully plead with women to save the lives of their unborn children. Congressman Chip Roy has introduced a bill to repeal the FACE Act. Will you contact your representative and urge them to support HR 5577? Find out more at afa.net. We inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to The Core here on American Family Radio. Glad to be with you today on the program. Walker Wildman here with you on the program. Hey, don't forget to check out our website, afr.net. You can not only listen live there at afr.net, but you can also listen to the podcast, listen to previous shows, previous episodes, and read up all about not only today's episode, but past episodes as well. Hey, we're going to have Wesley Wildman, my brother, in with us in the second segment to talk about a few topics, and then we'll have Frank Gaffney with the Center for Security Policy back with us in the third. He was with us last week, as well to talk about what's going on in Israel. We're going to talk a little bit about the Chinese Communist Party, the World Economic Forum, and we'll also get an update from Frank on the situation in Israel. We're in Psalm chapter 92 this week. Here's first few verses of Psalm chapter 92. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night. That's verses 1 and 2 in Psalm chapter 92. Verse 2 says, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by the night. And so when should our praises be given to the Lord? Well, here it says day and night. That's when it's appropriate to praise the Lord at all times, day and night. This month, we are promoting our Ryan DeFreitas DVD set. We're selling them in 3-episode bundles. If you're watching on streaming.afa.net, I've got the episodes of 10, 11, and 12 here in studio with me. But our Ryan DeFreitas series has 12 episodes total, and we're selling them in 3-episode packs, or 3-episode bundles, over at resources.afa.net, resources.afa.net. They are 20% off plus free shipping. So 20% off plus free shipping. You can order them now at resources.afa.net. So that's $19.99 or $20. That includes free shipping for 3 episodes. And these are great stocking stuffers, Christmas gifts, birthday gifts for your children or grandchildren. And it's nice, clean, family-friendly entertainment with a Bible lesson right at the end of each episode here with Ryan DeFreitas. So go to resources.afa.net. And check that out. If you don't want the DVD and you want to watch it online, you can do so at streaming.afa.net. And we'll have that AFA Streaming mobile app launched in November. So be on the lookout for that. Well, I want to continue our discussion of what's going on in Israel. Where we are now is over 1,400, as I mentioned Monday, 1,400 people were killed by the terrorist attacks in Israel over a week ago, and the Israeli Defense Force, they've lost over 200 soldiers, nearing 300, if not over 300 by now, soldiers. Most of that was on the day of the terrorist attack. The rest of them have been, the rest of the casualties have been since the attack. Israel has yet to formally go into Gaza, at least completely. There were reports that they had gone into certain areas of Gaza on the perimeter there with Israel, but they haven't fully gone in to Gaza. President Biden just departed Israel. He was in Israel over the last several hours, in meeting with the prime minister there and his defense officials. Last night, U.S. time, there was all kinds of rioting and damage being done to U.S. embassies across the Middle East. But I want to talk about the events yesterday that led up to that and arguably what caused it, what led up to it. So yesterday, there was a rocket or an explosive device that hit a hospital in Gaza. And in the hours, or really in the minutes and hours following that missile hitting the hospital, what was believed to be a missile hitting the hospital in Gaza, there was Hamas came out, and remember, these are terrorists, right? These are cruel, evil, dishonest, heartless people. That is these terrorists. So we got to remember who they are. And unfortunately, the media and many journalists treat Hamas as if they are legitimate, as if they are a legitimate nation and governmental organization that has spokespersons and like these are legitimately recognized state actors. But they're a terrorist group. They're an offshoot of Iran. And so you can't have it both ways, because the same people that like treat Hamas like they're some legit state agency are the same people that say, well, all Palestinians aren't Hamas. And then they quote, you know, the Palestinian Authority and their governmental leaders. But which one is it? And so the media, and I'm going to be specific here. Let's see. Okay, here we go. CNN. This is a headline from CNN. Once again, a missile hit a hospital in Gaza. The initial reports were 500 people dead, and that it was Israel that hit the hospital. And so everybody starts going crazy. Nobody's verified anything, at least in the public. And I know that's bad English, but CNN put out a headline just minutes after, "Hundreds killed in Israeli strike on Gaza hospital, Palestinian officials say." Here's another headline from the AP. "Hamas says Israeli airstrike on Gaza hospital kills hundreds as Biden heads to the Middle East." Here's another headline from the New York Times. "Israeli strike kills hundreds in hospital, Palestinians say." Wall Street Journal. "Israeli airstrike on Gaza hospital kills more than 500, Palestinian officials say." So which one is it? Are we quoting Hamas? Are we quoting Palestinian spokespeople? Which one is it? Because it can't be both. And we're told they're not the same. They're different. As it turns out, it was Hamas that struck the hospital in Gaza. And technically speaking, they didn't even hit the hospital. Hamas didn't even hit the hospital. They hit the parking lot. And technically speaking, we're not sure how many, if any, people died when Hamas fired their own missile on their own people in Gaza, because it was a parking lot. And according to the reports and the images, there were, I don't know, maybe a dozen vehicles damaged. No structures damaged, no structures destroyed. We're unsure how many, if anyone died in the strike. But it was Hamas who allegedly misfired their own missile and hit their own people. But before we could verify that, we had to run with the headline. And we had to run with the headline, but not only did we just have to get something out there for the sake of being first on the block, but we had to blame Israel, because we can't admit that we just don't know where the missile came from or who fired it. We have to automatically blame somebody, and we don't blame the terrorists who are actually known for misfiring missiles on their own people. This is a thing in Gaza. I think over 20% of the missiles they shoot actually land in Gaza and harm civilians. And this wasn't like people on Twitter or Facebook accusing Israel of hitting this hospital. These are journalistic entities. CNN, Associated Press, New York Times, Al Jazeera, Wall Street Journal, Los Angeles Times. And so they ran with this. They pumped out these legitimately fake headlines that are not based in anything factual, with no legitimate sources or evidence other than what Hamas is saying. And then that leads to rioting upon rioting upon rioting at all of our U.S. embassies in the Middle East, multiple countries. They're evacuating embassies in Lebanon, in Syria, in Iraq. Biden's flying into Tel Aviv, and our embassies are burning around the Middle East. Because the media outlets and 95% of these are in the U.S., Al Jazeera, the only foreign-based media outlet. The rest of them, CNN, well, BBC's in Europe, AP, Los Angeles Times, Wall Street Journal, Reuters. The vast majority of these are U.S.-based media outlets, and they're parroting Hamas propaganda. And the Biden administration wants to tell us about fake news and misinformation. These are the chief purveyors of misinformation. And this wasn't some minor detail that they just overlooked. They blamed Israel for striking a hospital, killing 500 people in Gaza. Why is no one fired for this? This is absolutely astonishing. Absolutely astonishing. They ought to be ashamed. Where are the apologies? There are none. The rioting has already taken place. Iran and Hezbollah and Hamas have already amped up the pressure and the rhetoric, and they're blaming Israel when it was Hamas that hit their own hospital. And no, 500 people didn't die. We actually don't know if anyone or how many people died. Maybe some people did. And that's a tragedy, but it's on Hamas. And this stuff happens all the time. And why are they not, why is this not being broadly covered? Why is the pressure not on the terrorist organization to stop these heinous acts? All this world pressure builds up on Israel. Oh, Israel's got to be responsible. John Kirby said yesterday, "Oh yeah, we're going to be asking, Israel tough questions about how they're going to treat civilians in Israel. I mean, in Gaza." This is going to get, mark my word, this is going to get worse as the days go on, unfortunately. And here's why. And when I say it's going to get worse, I'm talking about this complete misinformation by what are supposed to be reputable media outlets and the pressure on Israel to back off. That's what I'm talking about is going to get elevated in the coming days and weeks. And here's why. Because we have countless Muslim and Islamic sympathizers in this nation and around the world. Millions. But not just generic, you know, Muslim sympathizers. We have people in our own government, including, let me pull this one up, including Rashida Tlaib, who is a Democrat from Michigan. She put out a tweet in the minutes following Hamas firing a missile on their own hospital. That Israel, here's a quote from Rashida Tlaib. This is a U.S. congresswoman. Israel just bombed the Baptist hospital, killing 500 Palestinians. Doctors, children, and patients. Just like that, she says. Then she tags POTUS. POTUS, this is what happens when you refuse to facilitate a ceasefire and help de-escalate. Your war and destruction only approach has opened my eyes and many. Quote, Rashida Tlaib, U.S. Congresswoman, Michigan Democrat. She is literally being a spokesperson and a surrogate for Hamas. And as it turns out, it's Hamas that fired the missile on the hospital. But how many people were misinformed? How many U.S. embassies were attacked last night because journalists aren't doing their job, and people in the U.S. Congress are being surrogates for Hamas? Folks, the Christians and Jews in this nation and around the world are going to have to stay firm that Israel must destroy Hamas. That is the only option left. Israel must destroy Hamas.
Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savor, how will it be seasoned? My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Matt Walsh wrote a piece for the Daily Wire where he said, "The contemporary American Christian is the most open-minded person to have ever existed. He's so open-minded, you can hardly tell he's Christian or has a mind at all. He has for a long time been open to the idea that marriage isn't permanent and sex isn't meant exclusively for marriage. He's basically open to whatever notions are popular. He is open, and where he is not open, he is silent."
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
In churches, in a lot of churches today, the issue of identity is sort of like the big elephant in the room. It's in the news, but it's not in the church. So if it's in society, it needs to be something the churches are addressing.
In His Image, Delighting in God's Plan for Gender and Sexuality is now available for church screenings and events.
Every person in America needs to see this.
And all pastors need to show this to the church, get the people informed. If the church and Jesus isn't the answer, where's the world going?
We want the message of the film to touch as many hearts and lives as possible, and we'd love to join with you to bring the film to your community. So let's say you have a small group or your church, or we've even been bringing the film into some prisons. We want to partner with you. So what we'll do is we'll send you a special kit, and it's completely free, and it'll just have some extra resources to help you promote your event.
To find out more about how to host an event, go to inhisimage.movie and click on the Host an Event tab. That's inhisimage.movie.
Hey friends, it's Jessica Peck, Dr. Nurse Mama, as your one-minute parenting coach. Have you heard the latest TikTok teen craze on bed rotting? This is a toxic self-care trend that showcases young people burrito-wrapped in their covers, phone in hand, to endlessly scroll with snacks piled high. Now, it's okay to be a vegetable every once in a while, but bed rotting is not a healthy habit for coping. Gorging your eyes on screens disrupts your mind-body balance. It can even be a sign of real anxiety or depression. Parents, we need to model healthy coping behaviors for stress management, like taking a walk, talking to a friend, listening to music, reading, praying, or going to church. Ask your teens about this trend, and I'll see you on the Dr. Nurse Mama radio show right here on American Family Radio.
At the Core podcasts are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
The sun to rise every morning, colors the sky with the shades of His glory, wakes us with mercy and love, Jesus does. Who holds the orphan, comforts the widow, cries for injustice, feels every sorrow, children, Jesus does. Blood Jesus does. I believe
Welcome back to The Core here on American Family Radio. Worship Wednesday here. That song is Jesus Does by We the Kingdom. Wesley Wildman, my brother, is back with us. Wesley, welcome to The Core.
Hey, glad to be back on. We had our Sheraton last week, and you didn't play your worship music. I was wondering what that was all about.
But yeah, because we had Sheraton music.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. So I've got my answers. No, ain't that right, Bobby? Yeah. We know what's going on around here.
Yeah, I was just trying to call you out for being less spiritual, and you called me out for correcting me. But I was just kidding.
Yeah. Well, I'm not kidding because you know. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, you and your wife just celebrated 10 years, right?
We did. We celebrated 10 years.
And I'm trying to help you out.
Hey, thank you. Hey! Yes, sir. We did. We celebrated 10 years. We went on a trip for a couple days. We had family, yourself included, was one of the family members that helped watch our kids while we were gone. And we enjoyed that. I can't believe it's been 10 years. Time flies, you know. Just in the last couple of years, I've joked about being an adult and paying bills and responsibilities and all that. But, man, there's no joke. I mean, it's 10 years. Ten years, three kids. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for all the things that we've learned together over the years. There's a lot of learning and a lot of growing, even at the 10-year mark.
Yep.
You know, there's
sanctification continues.
That's the word, yeah. Yep. Your marriage sanctifies you for sure, and your spouse is the one that will be able to help sharpen you. And
Keep you humble.
Keep you humble. That they're able to see things that you yourself are not able to see. And so
that's good. Hey, yeah. Wesley, you and I, in April of 24, you and I are going to be at the AFA retreat. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yes, AFA retreat, where you're going to be there. Now, we've done this in years past, and we have different speakers from year to year. So the speakers this year are Jenna Ellis, Ray Pritchard, Bishop E.W. Jackson, and Rob West. Those are the four keynote speakers. Now, toward the end of the retreat, we will have a panel discussion with leadership, which would then include my dad, Tim Wildman, yourself, myself, Ed Vitagliano, Stacy Fowler, and Tony Vitagliano.
You know, whether you want to know this or not, Wesley, but I'm going to go and break it to you. I do have a session. I do have my own session.
Oh, you do got a session. Okay. Yeah. I did not know
that. I had some conversations, pulled some strings, and I've got my own session.
You got your 45 minutes.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Good.
So I just want to let you know in case we show up and you're like, Walker's not supposed to have his own time.
Yeah, what's up with that? Yeah.
Yeah. So I was able to work that out.
I'm glad you worked that out. So then you would be a part of the keynote and a part of the panel discussion of leadership.
Yeah. So this is in April 3rd through the 6th of 2024. And we are going to have to close down registration towards the end of the year. But for those who want to register, they can go over to afaretreat.net, and register and check out all the information there. It's a multi-day retreat over in Sylacauga, Alabama. It's a beautiful resort there. And people say, well, I've never heard of that town. Well, that's true because it's a small town, but it's a very well-known resort in the community.
It is. The reason that we do this once a year, and we've been doing this for many, many years, even though it's been at different locations over the years, the reason we do this is because this is one of many opportunities that we were able to leave our headquarters, our facilities, and get to fellowship and spend time with you, let you to get to see us in person. We get to meet you. You get to learn a little bit more about our families, about our day-to-day activities, and how we are ordinary men, ordinary women, doing the work of God and seeing that. And you'll also be able to hear about the things that we're doing, even on a more smaller scale, more inside baseball scale of what we do on a day-to-day here at AFA. And so obviously, you know, a big portion of that is retreating and relaxing and refreshing. Mm-hmm. And we'd like to do this once a year, and this is the next opportunity. And it fills up. Every year we fill it up, and there's always a wait list. And so we don't want you to miss out on an opportunity or have to delay an opportunity waiting for the following year when there's a couple of spots open right now.
Yeah, that's right. And this is one of those events, Wesley, one of the things I love about it, you know, we can go, we can have events that have 1,000 or more, like the Marriage Family Life Conference, and I can't honestly say that I get to meet everyone, although I do get to meet most. But at this event, Wesley, it's very intimate.
That's right.
We have various times of fellowship, and we do get to meet everyone, or at least there's an opportunity to meet everyone at the AFA retreat. So go to afaretreat.net and check that out, afaretreat.net. Hey, Wesley, you and I were talking earlier about one thing that's been a topic of discussion in recent years is these George Soros-backed district attorneys. And for those who don't know a little bit of the context here, George Soros is a well-known multi-billionaire that funds a lot of the left-wing and Marxist agenda, including campaigns. And he's been funding various district attorney races because they want to be at the leverage of power when it comes to prosecuting crimes.
That's right.
But some of these district attorneys, Wesley, that George Soros himself has funded, their own policies are coming back to hurt them.
They are. They're, you know, one day, if I had enough time to pull articles out, I want to do a segment called I Told You So.
That would be a good segment.
Told You So.
That would be a good segment.
Man, if you think about this, these George Soros attorney, the one, let me dive into it specifically, the one that you're talking about here. It's a pro-criminal DA, district attorney named Jason Williams.
Which is like an oxymoron.
Yeah, exactly. He himself has a history of repeatedly supporting the being, it's almost, you can't say weak on crime. He's not on crime at all.
He's to be generous, he's soft on crime.
Yes, to
he
be generous.
He thinks that people who commit crime shouldn't have to go to prison, shouldn't have to pay bail. They should just go easy on the criminals, basically.
That's exactly right. Well, this same gentleman, Jason Williams is his name, he and his mother were carjacked at gunpoint in New Orleans on October the 16th, so that was over the weekend. And the three suspects that were caught who carjacked him and his mother, 78-year-old mother, as he was helping her out of the car to get in the home, to get in her house, they were released. And after they were released same day, 30 minutes later, they also carjacked a 22-year-old woman just a half mile away from where they carjacked earlier in the day.
I didn't read this part of it. They carjacked the district attorney and his mother.
Right.
And then 30 minutes later, they were released. And then there was another victim?
Yes. They were released later that day. Right. And then 30 minutes after they got released,
they
carjacked a 22-year-old female a half mile away from where they had previously carjacked Jason Williams.
So they get released out of prison, out of jail, and then they go do two carjackings, and one of them was the district attorney.
That would be called incentivizing bad behavior, and that's where the segment comes in, I told you so. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. When you incentivize bad behavior, it doesn't work. Now, if you're feeling bad for we can feel bad for Jason's mother here because she's elderly and she's trying to get in her home. But if you're feeling bad for Jason, he has supported this action for years.
Yes.
In fact,
that's Wesley, to your point, this is what they would call, their terminology is nonviolent offenders.
Nonviolent offenders.
People who commit nonviolent offenses, including carjacking your vehicle, should not be put in jail, they say.
Well, that's true. Unfortunately, 20% of the people that he has released were released on violent offenses. So he's going.
Wow.
Yeah. So while many of them, they would be classified as nonviolent offenses, even within their definition of violent offenders, 20% of the people he has released were violent offenders.
Yes.
Now, let me say this, too. He has released 880 criminals since 2020. Since he has come into office, 880 criminals he has released on, and this is one of many of the 880 instances in which someone was arrested for committing a crime and then released later without there being a bail, without there just absolutely no consequences to their behavior. Now, in 2020,
Wesley, he's quoted as saying, after being sworn in 2020, he's quoted as saying that, quote, talking about violent criminals, he said, quote, we've got to go beyond punishment and invest in our community.
Yes.
These are criminals.
Yes.
Quote, we've got to go beyond punishment, even though his sole job as district attorney is to punish the evildoer.
Yep. Punish the evildoer. That's right. In 2022, a survey by Crime Coalition showed that the percentages of the residents in his area who feel safe had dropped from 57% when he took office to now 35% this year. So it had dropped nearly 22% since the time he has been in office. That is them going around asking people in the neighborhood, do you feel safe in your neighborhood? It was sad that it was 57% anyways, because but it's a big city and there's a lot of crime.
Yeah.
So I guess 57% may be an average and that in a location like that. But now, since he has taken office, there is now dropped from 57% to 35% the Crime Coalition has released. And the police chief and the police justice president, Melina Talia, she herself said they want to feel safe in the neighborhood, and they do not feel safe right now.
Yeah.
And you know this too. They also are at a – in 2020, there was a major, major drop in officers. There was a lot of people quitting during the summer of love.
Yes.
They needed
– summer of love.
The summer of love.
I know they called it that. That's right. It was the summer of burning down America.
When during that time, they lost a lot. So you've got a bad district attorney who is releasing criminals back into the community purposefully. And in addition to that, you have police officers. They needed around 1,600, and they were down to about 500.
Yes.
550, give or take.
Wow.
So around 550, but they needed 1,600 in order to do an adequate job of policing.
Wow.
And so now they've gone from about a 12 to 15-minute response time to now it's to a 31-minute response time.
Wow.
And so
which is an eternity when you're in an emergency situation.
Yeah, when you call 911.
Right.
Yeah. So it's I told you so. When you put criminals back on the street with little to no consequences, and you know, this almost goes without saying, but since we've got time and we've hit Jason pretty hard for his bad behavior here, obviously we believe in a process of someone committing a crime,
yes,
them being there being a consequence, and them having a process to repent, for lack of a better word, or to make a change, or to fix what they've done wrong.
Right.
So we obviously believe in that, but that's not what this is.
No.
Even though they'll try to hide that in this, everyone knows what's going on.
Also,
here.
Wesley, one thing we have a problem with in this country, especially amongst Christians, is confusing the biblical mandate, the mandate for individual Christians to have compassion and try to share the gospel with people,
yes,
and then the role of civil government.
Sure.
Because people try to, they try to mix those two together and say, well, we just need to share the gospel. No, well, you and I do, but that's not the point of government.
Right.
Government's supposed to punish the evildoer, and that means lock these people up, of course, have a speedy trial,
sure,
and whatever the sentencing is, whatever time they have to serve for the crime committed,
sure,
that all needs to play out. But it's
and that's not,
not
the discussion here, though, because unfortunately,
yeah, it's not the job of government to go, oh, I feel so bad for these people, let's cut them a break. That's not the job of prosecutors. Their job is to ensure that bad guys are off the streets.
That's exactly right.
And they're refusing to do that. But the last thing, Wesley, is unfortunately, these Marxist and Democrat prosecutors keep getting elected by the very people in their city.
Yeah.
So I do feel bad for the people of New Orleans.
They're trapped, yeah.
Especially the ones who voted against this gentleman. Mm-hmm. But if you didn't vote, or you voted for then you're living within the repercussions of your own decision making.
Yeah, unfortunately, the Soros funds, he gave him $220,000 toward a district attorney,
which
that's
is a lot of money.
That's a lot of money
in a local race
toward a district attorney, and that helped get the people out to vote. Now, you know, I don't think a lot of our people that are listening or people we would be connected with necessarily voted for them, but there's a lot of people that just didn't vote at all.
Right, which is a problem in and of itself.
Yeah, it's a problem in itself. So this is something we want you to be aware of.
That's right. Hey, folks, you can't the term soft on crime is a terrible thing, folks. The reason God created civil government is to promote righteousness and punish the evildoer, to put it plainly. So we need a government that punishes the evildoer and keeps our cities safe. Thanks, Wes.
I enjoyed it. Thanks for having me on.
All right, folks. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Frank Gaffney up next.
Let's see. If something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. And maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families up to $500 a month, and that's huge. But it's also true people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $7 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. See what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Noah warned the world, and the people laughed. Isaiah warned Israel, the people ignored. God's warning America, and what are we doing? Hello, I'm Sam Rohr with another Stand in the Gap Minute. Because of their egregious sins, Isaiah announced 6 warnings against Israel, and by application, against our nation today. The third woe in Isaiah 5:18 identifies the horrible practice of literally promoting sin and evil. Without regard for God or moral truth, the nation dreamed of evil, sinned without remorse, and even belittled God by profaning His name and His truth. The fourth woe in Isaiah 5:20 identifies the sin of moral relativism. Even more dangerous is when a nation redefines moral truth into moral evil, discarding the Ten Commandments as dangerous, killing the unborn through abortion, redefining marriage between two men or two women as good. Sound like America? While God's full of mercy, His justice will prevail. Join with us to communicate God's truth at standinthegapmedia.org.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Walker Wildman.
Welcome back to the program. Walker Wildman here with you. Last segment of The Core. Hey, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Just type in At the Core on your smartphone, tablet device, wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can subscribe there by clicking the subscribe button. And every day we upload the latest episode, it will drop into your archive there for you to listen. Hey, we're going to reschedule Frank Gaffney. We had a little mix-up there, so we're going to get Frank on later this week or next week to talk about what's going on in Israel, and also how this could play into what's going on in China and Taiwan. But I do want to get to some clips and really continue this discussion of what's going on in Israel. I want to play clip 3. This is going to put a bow on this topic of the media and journalists and the misinformation that was out there accusing Israel of striking a Gaza hospital when, in fact, it was all evidence is pointing to a Hamas rocket misfire or intentional firing. We just don't know yet. Basically, a Hamas missile hitting their own hospital in Gaza. Let's listen to an IDF spokesman, Jonathan Conricus, on this subject.
I only wish other media would hold the other side, Hamas, a party to a conflict,
to the same professional standards of scrutiny and not automatically say that this was an Israeli strike on a hospital. And it took a lot of time and a lot of hard work to get those headlines changed. And I think that's unfortunate because I think it's misleading. And I think that what we're seeing around in the area now, reports of marches and demonstrations and riots and violence, much of that is because of, how should we say, hasty reporting and jumping to conclusions.
There you have it. Hasty reporting, jumping to conclusions, says the IDF spokesman there, Jonathan Karikas. That was, I told Bobby during the break, that's one of the sloppiest jobs I've seen in a while, not the sloppiest, but one of the sloppiest, when we're dealing with the tinderbox. I mean, we're dealing with the tinderbox in the Middle East. Nobody wants World War III except Hamas and the Muslim radicals. And by the way, for them, this is a religious war. This is a religious war for the Muslims and for Iran. But this is, other than that, any civilized person and society and nation, even some of the Middle East actors, including Egypt and Saudi Arabia and Jordan and others, the vast majority of people don't want war, don't want World War III. They want to keep this isolated. They want to keep it between Israel and Hamas. And really, as a world, that's where we need it to stay. That's where we need it to stay. And in the long run, we need Israel to wipe out Hamas so that we're not back having this same discussion in 5 years again. That's really what we need to happen. And this whole, we got to be careful with the rhetoric we believe and the motives and intentions that Iran and others claim to have. This false premise that Iran is putting out that if Israel goes into Gaza, then they're getting directly involved and it's going to automatically escalate. That is maybe not a false premise, is not the right word, but that faulty way of thinking is toxic. And here's why it is. It was Hamas that hit Israel first. So in the rules of engagement and the way the world works, you don't get to slaughter 1,400 Israeli civilians as an Iranian proxy, Hamas. And then when Israel wants to defeat the enemy and the opponents at war that have attacked their innocent civilians, then they get told, no, you can't do that. You can't go into Gaza, because if you do, that's going to be met with a vengeance. That's not how this works, folks. That's not how war works. When you start a war, then you got to be in it till it's finished. And you can't be shocked and dismayed that the nation that you've attacked without provocation strikes back. And Israel is going to strike back. They're going to strike back. It's a matter of time. They're going to hit Gaza. And what we can pray for is that no other nations intervene, that this is a conflict between Hamas and Israel, and that in Israel finishes the deal. They finish the deal in Gaza. I want to play a clip here. This is clip two. This is a Delta Force veteran. This is actually a NATO. There was two gentlemen on this program, but this is a former NATO Supreme Allied Commander. His name's Philip Breedlove, but he's talking about the tunnels under Gaza and what this might look like with Israel going into Gaza. Clip two.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on, and I'm not sure that it will change their calculation. Israel has been very deliberate. I think they're getting it right before they go in. They've been doing the preparation of the battlefield, both in terms of intelligence and military preparation. And I think when the time is correct, their intel is correct, and their mission is well-defined in relation to the hostages, they will go in.
The flooding of the tunnels, does that sound appropriate, or would you go in with men, or would you just maybe knock them out with some non-lethal gas?
Well, first of all, Jesse, we need to make sure that they're not hiding hostages in those tunnels. If we were to use the tactics, which were well employed by Egypt, as you talked about in the past, if we were to use those and not have good intelligence about what is in those tunnels, it could be a problem for us, couldn't it? So I think that what we need to be patient for is Israel to understand and characterize the battlefield, and then they will use the appropriate way to attack these problems.
So that's a former NATO Supreme Allied Commander, Philip Breedlove, and he just kind of fleshing out the details there of what it looks like to go into Gaza, including the challenge of the tunnels and the hostages. This is going to be a major challenge, one that hasn't been faced in a long time by Israel, to this degree, that is. Israel's gone into Gaza before and occupied it during different periods of time, but nothing to this level, not with 200 hostages. There's been a handful of hostages in the past. So Israel's probably crossing its T's and dotting its I's before it goes into Gaza, because this is going to be a long-term, this is a long-term investment for Israel. It's going to cost countless lives of their military members to go and do urban warfare with Gaza on their turf. And these are not rational actors. These aren't fair fighters. This is going to be like guerrilla warfare. It's going to be terrible for both sides. But Israel is clearly in it for the long run, and who knows how long it'll take for them to clear Gaza, probably weeks or months at a minimum. But Israel has to do it. Israel has no choice. They cannot keep living under these conditions. They cannot have these Islamic terrorists in their backyard firing missiles into their neighborhoods. The vast majority of our audience is very, not only the vast majority of our audience is Christians and born-again believers, but the vast majority of our audience is also very friendly to Israel. So I'm preaching to the choir a little bit, but let me preach to the non-choir members. Put yourself in Israel's position here. Number one, Israel is the land of the Bible, undisputed. Now, the Muslims who believe in a false God and a false religion, they think it's their land, but it's not. Historically and factually speaking, Israel is the land of the Bible. It's the land of the Jews. And so with that fact being stated, who wants to live in 2023 with people who want you eradicated from the planet in their backyard, quite literally? Think about how close these little towns were from Gaza, firing missiles every other week while you're trying to have dinner or trying to go to church or trying to go to the grocery store, and you've got rockets coming into the parking lot. Who wants to live under those conditions and call it normal? Nobody. The answer is no civilized society and people that love peace want to live under that condition and just be okay with it. Just be okay with having your friends slaughtered every so often. That's not normal. No normal human wants to live under those conditions. And so that is the position that the Jews are in. Pastor Greg Laurie, just about a week ago when all this broke out in Israel, he gave a great about three-minute message on the biblical significance and whether or not this is all a part of Bible prophecy. Let's listen to Pastor Greg Laurie for a few minutes.
And on May 14th, 1948, Israel became a nation. I'm proud to say the United States was the first nation to acknowledge that. But God said she'll be regathered. And then the Lord said she would come under attack. And specifically in Ezekiel 37 and 38, the Bible speaks of the regathering of Israel, and then it speaks of a large force from her north attacking her. That force is identified as Magog. Who is Magog? Listen, no one can say with absolute certainty, but many, many Bible students and prophecy teachers believe it's modern-day Russia. I think you can make a very good case for that. If you get out a map of the Middle East and look to the north of Israel, you will find Russia. Why would Russia ever want to invade Israel? Well, there's another thing the Bible says about Magog, if she is indeed Russia, and that one of her allies that will march with her is Persia. Persia is the ancient name for modern Iran. So the Bible predicted hundreds of years ago that this large force from the north of Israel would attack her after she was regathered, and one of the allies that would attack Israel with Mother Russia or Magog, whoever it is, would be Iran or Persia. And it's only recently that the Iranians and the Russians have developed a special connection. Not once in the past 2,500 years has Russia formed a military alliance with Persia, Iran, but they have now signed billion-dollar deals to sell missiles to Iran, and the Iranians have helped the Russians, providing them with drones, weaponized drones to use in the Ukraine war. You probably heard about that. And Prime Minister Netanyahu said of this, Iran and Russia are very disturbing to us. Iran supplying Russia with drones, Russia helping Iran with nuclear weapons. The only way to stop Iran is with a credible military threat. So how do you stop something like this? Literally, there are hostages from Israel, old women, little children, young women, and soldiers as well, because these civilians were actually targeted in this attack. How do you deal with this? It's very tricky. Let's just say, for the sake of a point, that Israel decided to strike out at Iran specifically because they're funding all of this. What would that produce? Well, it could produce a conflict we read about in Ezekiel, where suddenly, because the Bible says that Magog will come against her will, the Bible describes hooks in her jaws, pulling her forward, almost as though Magog is coming in reluctantly along with her ally, Persia or Iran. I'm not saying this is going to lead to the Ezekiel 37-38 scenario, but I'm saying it's very interesting.
Well, there you have it. That's Pastor Greg Laurie dipping into Bible prophecy a little bit, and at least setting up a basic biblical understanding of these events here and the spiritual dynamics at play. And so, you know, is this the Ezekiel prophecy being played out? We don't know. We don't know. Is this another iteration of the previous battles that Israel has had to engage in to fight for its very existence, as they've done over the past, you know, 60, 70 years? It's possible. As I said, nobody should be, with the right mind, should be wishing World War III or the Ezekiel prophecy to take place, because the devastation would be tragic. But very interesting. And I know we've had a lot of people, probably a lot of Christians, who've become end times experts now, experts in the prophecy of Ezekiel. But very, very fascinating there from Pastor Greg Laurie. And one thing is clear, and he mentions it there in that clip, is that Psalm 122 says that the people of God ought to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we ought to support the Jews and the people of Israel, because it is the land of the Bible. And one tertiary note that is, of course, not as significant in the grand scheme of Israel at war, but millions of Christians pilgrimage to the land of the Bible every year, including myself. So, and tourism, specifically amongst Christians, makes up a large portion of the Israeli economy. So there are Jews and Christians in Israel that rely on Christians touring and making a pilgrimage over to the land of the Bible for their livelihood, for their income, for their families. So that is another factor that can't be forgotten. So our hope and our prayer is that the Lord will intervene, as he has in the past, on behalf of Israel and in Jerusalem, and will bring about peace in that land. That's what needs to be on the forefront of our mind. Hey, thanks so much for joining the Core. If you want to go back and listen to this episode or more, you can always subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Hey, to keep up with what's going on in Israel, don't forget to check out American Family News, AFN.net, AFN.net. We'll see you next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Faith, family, freedom. American Family Radio. Dr. Travis was a man that was full of life.
Bert Harper of